Welcome back to the Chasing Tone Podcast. Today, I am back fresh from Sweetwater's Gear Fest and then the Summer NAMM. Talked to Blake about everything that happened there and some fun things and some weird and kind of odd things that happened. So let's jump right into that. Blake, how's it going?
Brian, it's been so long.
It has been. It's been a little bit.
I missed you.
It's been kind of crazy. Gear Fest in June, over my birthday, and then home
happy
for a few 23rd,
days. By the way.
Happy, thank you, I appreciate that. And then to NAMM for a week, almost a week-ish. Took my son Brent, named after Brent Mason, true story. Took my son Brent with me, so he worked the show. He's 18 now, and you know, just kind of helping him get a feel for a little bit of what I do. You know, see if he likes it. Maybe he wants to join the family business.
What's he think? What was his review on that?
He actually loved it.
Oh, really?
He absolutely loved it. Yeah, he's a very extroverted person. Loves to talk to people. And he thought it was the most amazing group of people. So let me back up. Like, he doesn't play guitar or anything. He plays the rap music. So, but even that, like, he just thought that the people were fascinating. They're, in his words, everyone is so chill here.
I mean, that's true. That is very true for the most part.
Yep. Had a great dinner with Bob Keeley.
Oh, Bob Keeley.
Yep. Old man Keeley's boy had a great dinner with him. Mm-hmm. And Jacob. Jacob was there as well.
Oh, that's Roberts. Right. Jacob texted me and he said that you and Brent were hilarious. So whatever you were doing, Jacob found it hilarious. Jacob works for Keeley, for everybody who doesn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, he's a big part of Robert's staff. So both wonderful guys. Had a great dinner with them. And talked about everything you could possibly imagine. And we stay at the same hotel, too. So, of course, you know, bump into each other all the time. And, you know, it's just the gear industry is so different than other industries. I think we've talked about this a million times. Just everybody's kind of cool and friends. And in what other industry do you go to dinner with your competition? A friendly dinner, not tell me everything you know so I can steal your secrets. You know, it's, you know, just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what? There's no other industry that I know of that's like that.
I would say that your son's observation is very accurate. It's just chill. Like,
it is. It's very chill.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why I had to shoehorn my way into it. I was tired of being in non-chill industries. I needed to chill.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's coming from your perspective. It's, you were in an entirely different industry. Totally. Mm-hmm. Radically different. And now it's a chill industry.
Yep. It's good for the brain, for sure. It is.
And it's fun to wake up in the morning and like what you do, you know.
100%.
I mean, so of course we went to NAMM. There's a lot of smaller builders at NAMM. Guys just starting up. I always get kind of a big kick. I get a lot of, I guess selfishly, it's heartwarming to me. Because there's a lot of smaller builders that have come up and be like, hey, man, I bought your book 10 years ago or whatever. And if it wasn't for that book, I would not be starting my own company. You know, and that's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there were several guys. I'm like, look, there's going to be a bunch of roadblocks as you go through. So here's my number. I'll help you out the best way I can whenever you stumble on something. Because I promise you, you know, if you're just trying to figure this out as you go, you're going to need someone to talk to and ask, hey, what should I do in this situation? You know?
Oh yeah. There's so much to it. And sometimes, just being around, I think I heard Josh Scott one time say, he said, like, one of his biggest, he was on a podcast, I can't remember which podcast it was, but he said, like, you know, they were asking him, like, what's your advice for a smaller builder or an up-and-coming builder? And he said something that I never even thought of how important it is for this stuff, and that is just be around. Like, if you can stick around, like, that's a huge part of it, just still existing as a corporation or an entity in the world. I'm like, that is very interesting. I never really thought about how powerful that really is. Just being around and seeing things and having people know who you are. Just sticking around is really hard to do, actually.
It is. Yep. And in fact, so of course we have the Wampler Petals tone group. And one of the mods on there, his name's Matt Kimes, actually. So he was coming to town. We met at the Hyatt there where I was staying, had a few drinks and just talking, because we would talk to each other back and forth on Facebook, right? Never met each other. So it was cool to, you know, hang out with him and talk to him. And this was his first show.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a vendor or anything. He's just a player, a fan. And so after he went through NAMM, I asked him, I said, so I want to get your perspective. So what's like five things about NAMM that you didn't know before? Like, what misperceptions did you have? So I got a list.
Okay.
You want to hear them?
I do.
Okay, here we go. His number one thing was, there's alcohol here. You've been to NAMM before, so you understand there's like little booths. When it opens at 9 or 10, people were already buying beer.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you guys are crazy. This is you guys party too hard for me.
That's right. I'm like, I could do that years ago, but I can't start my breakfast out with a porter, you know?
This breakfast burrito is about as hard as I'm going to hit it. You know?
That's exactly right. So yes, there is alcohol there. His second thing was more of like a directory navigation thing. And I know Winter NAMM has like an app that you can look at on a map. I don't think Summer NAMM had that. Not that I'm aware of. I didn't see any maps anywhere. It was just kind of like, all right, well, here's the building. Figure out where everything is yourself.
It's got to be a lot easier. I mean, at Winter NAMM, it's kind of a necessity to have a directory. It's so huge. I've not been to Summer, but everyone says it's like a third of the size or so. Is that accurate?
I would say it's even smaller. I always tell people that Winter NAMM's 10 times larger.
Wow. That's insane. Like, I think I've seen some Summer NAMM shots and I'm like, is that it? Like, it's just one room, isn't it?
It's one room. Yeah. And not room like a, 20 by 20 room, but it's one. You're in a convention center. But it's just a small block of it, I guess you could say.
Right. It's not just a hotel room.
Right. Yeah. And everything's all thrown together. So, drums were 30 feet away from us. Cymbals were anyways, which is awesome. He also said that he was surprised it was mostly smaller builders. You know, so there was no Paul Reed Smith there. Mm-hmm. There was no Sir. I think Fender or Epiphone or someone like that was there. But generally, it's smaller builders, and not just pedal builders, smaller guitar builders, amp builders, ukulele companies, and then pro audio type stuff. So basically just smaller guys. It's cheaper to go there in the summer. Another thing is he said he was unaware of like the little seminars that NAMM puts on. Have you ever been to those during Winter NAMM?
I know they happen, but I've never actually participated in them or went to them. I kind of would like to, but at the same time, I'm mainly there to say hello to everybody, shake hands and actually face-to-face talk to the people that I talk to on the phone all year. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of people that I need to meet, that I want to meet. Right. And so it doesn't leave a lot of time for, doing things like that. It's just not really in the cards. But there's been some classes that I was really interested in. There's, obviously marketing stuff. And, I'd love to know more. I'd like to go to some of them just to learn a little bit more from the retail perspective. Like, mm-hmm. actually hear dealers kind of give their side of the story. Because I focus so much on the other side, the manufacturers and stuff. So.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, I do know that it happens, and I've heard a lot of people get a lot of value out of some of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was not aware that that kind of stuff was even going to be there. So he thought that was pretty cool. Let's see. He also said he didn't know selling was not something you can do. He didn't realize that until he got there. Basically, being that in case the audience doesn't know, you generally can't go to NAMM and be like, well, how much for your reverb pedal? I'll take one. NAMM technically does not allow you to sell from the floor. Doesn't mean that people don't. It just means it's very hard to do. It's very time consuming. So if you're selling something, you have to not only walk the customer out the door with that product, but you have to have paperwork associated with it. It's kind of an ordeal to actually sell a product. So, for example, we don't sell anything at NAMM. I know others do, but I don't take stock. All I have are the show boards. That's all I have.
So. Yeah. I mean, it depends on who you talk to. You're not officially supposed to, but I've walked out with a few pedals here and there once in a while.
And in the past, I have sold a few, but it's just such a pain. I generally try not to anymore, if at all possible. Just very time consuming for the reasons I said a minute ago.
Yeah, I feel like that's such an old thing. They need to.
It's a very old school thing.
Yeah, like they need to get over that. That's just silly.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wonder if there's like a deeper reason. Like we'd have to charge taxes, or who knows? Maybe there's some other reason, a little more politically inclined. Maybe I don't know. I have no idea.
The only thing I could see is why it would be a no-no is for it's less of an issue for, you know, pedal companies because pedals are fairly small, but like I could see it being an issue if, you know, dealers wanted to show up and be like, hey, Fender, we'll take 500 of those. Like, those are big, and that's not really the purpose of the show. And so I could see maybe they ran into that. Like, I'm just going to bring all my stock and stock all my dealers and not have to ship anything. Like, that could be a major issue.
Yeah, that could be a very big issue indeed. Absolutely. So GearFest the week before.
Oh.
I don't think we talked about it, but maybe you saw it. So I did a video before I left about like what guitars I use, basically in the course of designing stuff. And, you know, here's my guitar inventory that I go through. And one of the comments was like, what? No Paul Reed Smith? How do you have, you have 18 Tellys and 5 Stratocasters and a Les Paul, but no Paul Reed Smith. And I'm like, dude's got a point. So I'm at Sweetwater. And of course, Paul Reed Smith is there, and Sweetwater's making crazy, stupid deals, you know, on a lot of products. And so I found one that I liked, and I bought me one. I'll back that up. It's not a super high dollar Paul Reed Smith because I don't roll that way generally, but it is an SE. It's the custom 24 quilt top Trampas Green, is what it is.
All right.
Yeah. So. You got the gear shifter on it. It's a nice little green color. And it actually plays really well. Pickups are a little too hot for me. I'll be honest with you. And the humbucker, it's got a coil splitting thing. In the humbucker position, they're a little too hot, a little too dark than what I normally like. When you split the coil, it's a little too thin, a little too bright. So I honestly, personally, would like to see kind of a meet in the middle sort of thing.
I see.
Honestly. But you know, maybe that's just the sound of the PRSs, because I played a bunch of them and a lot of them were that way. So maybe that's just their selling point. Just like you're not generally going to make a Les Paul sound like a Strat, you know?
Right. And you've mentioned something about, you know, it plays great and all that stuff. Most of the time, there's a few that I really, really like, but most of the time the PRS aesthetic isn't my cup of tea, but
it's almost like furniture.
Yeah, exactly.
It reminds me of furniture. Yeah,
I understand the appeal of it. I really do. It's just not what I would pick. But I got to say, for like a mass-produced instrument, they're consistently incredible. Like, I've never picked up a PRS and was like, this is a piece of junk. Like, they're always they're always good for the most part. I can't think of a time I've ever thought that the build quality was not good. Even from low-end to super high-end, they've always been much more consistent than their competitors. And I think that's just Paul's thing. He doesn't want any garbage going out the door. So he made it so that wouldn't happen. But it's,
he did. And he did a great job on that, you know, because like you said, you rarely hear someone saying, oh, I bought a Paul Reed Smith and the neck was crooked. And I mean, had a nick in the back of it. Like generally see stuff like that.
No. And for somebody to be producing that many instruments, you know, all the time, and they're consistently, like, extremely good, that's impressive. He should do some consulting for some of the other big guys.
Yeah, it'd be nice, but I doubt he's going to call up Gibson and be like, all right, guys, here's how we save your company.
Yeah, my gut tells me that's probably not the case.
So, yeah, that was my new gear acquirement for the month.
Good choice.
Look forward to using that in some videos.
I look forward to taking a closer look at it. I never would have thought that you would have got a PRS, to be honest. That's just not something we've ever discussed. I don't think.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, ever.
So, but, you know, we've talked about it before. I look at guitars kind of like a hammer. You know, if you're a carpenter, you need a good hammer, probably a couple of them, you know? And I kind of look at it like that. They're kind of more like tools to me, mm-hmm. just really expensive tools that are much funner to use than a hammer, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm a little more emotionally connected to mine than that, but I get the concept.
No, I love them. Don't get me wrong. It's not like, you know, I don't just throw them down in the corner somewhere. I'm like, ah, that'd be fine, you know? But I really like, I got, so, you know, like I said, I got this guitar to be a tool whenever I'm designing things,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm like, okay, so how is it going to react with this type of guitar? And you know, these kind of pickups, this kind of sound. So, yeah, I'm excited about getting it into rotation here.
It's for business, honey. It is. I promise.
It was a legitimate business expense.
Of course.
Exactly.
Exactly. My favorite kind.
Yeah. So, anyway, so that was, other than that, NAMM went really well. We were set up next to Morgan Amps, Joe Morgan, Dave Friedman, Tone King, played through a lot of the Tone King stuff, which is fantastic. Also had the Synergy modules there. Couple of the Eggnator amps were there, but yeah, the Tone King and the Morgans were right next to us. I spent quite a bit of time just, you know, sneaking over next door and playing through some stuff. They got a great amp. Oh man, I just forgot the name of it. The Imperial. What a fantastic amp.
Oh, the Imperial is wonderful.
Yeah, just a great amp. So, I have to sneak one of those into the sweat shed here. Start playing through that a little bit. It's a fun amp to play through.
They look great too.
Oh man. Yeah, they really do. It's a very cool thing they got going on. So any new gear requirements in your neck of the woods?
Actually, yes. I did something this week that I've never done before. And I know a lot of people have, and it's probably something I should have experimented with long ago, but I actually changed a wiring harness in one of my Les Pauls. That was a new thing for me. It was very eye opening to actually get in there and, you know, rip that stuff out and put in the new guts. And I'm very happy with the results.
So did you have one with the circuit board and all that stuff?
No, I didn't have the circuit board in it. My early 2000s. I think it's a 2002, Les Paul special. So it's still like all of the, you know, the regular stuff, regular standard, you know, point to point wiring in there, but the pots were getting kind of scratchy. It's been, you know, sweated on for years. It was my first electric guitar. So it needed some, and it needed a fresh setup and needed all this stuff. And then it just so happens, Tone Mob got a new sponsor, that Gun Street Wiring, and they sent me a harness and I put it in and it was awesome. So
Gun Street Wiring.
Yes.
Let me look that up real quick. I have not heard of those guys.
They're relatively new. I talked with their owner and head guy over there, Sean, for quite a while. It was one of those things, you know, like you and I do sometimes, where we just need to call and talk for a little bit and touch bases, and then we end up on the phone for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of those things. And I really like the guy, and he's really like he's got a lot of good, you know, good thoughts, and the way he's wanting to run his business, I really like. And so, here's an extended plug on a different podcast by accident. I kind of forgot that I had done that, but yeah, the install went great and he was very helpful throughout the whole process, and I'm very stoked to have been in contact with him. So there you go.
So did he help you pick it? Did he help you like pick out the exact pickups and, you know, everything else going on that you wanted, kind of tailor it to your needs? Or,
well, actually I kept the stock pickups. I've never had had an issue with that. I just changed the wiring and
the pots and switch and stuff.
Yeah. And I changed it to the, you know, the, treble bleed instead of the standard, quote unquote, modern wiring. I was trying to decide between the modern and the standard. And he kind of suggested like, here's a kind of a happy medium, you know, type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I like it because the volume tapers are much smoother. Like my old wiring had a spike around like 4, you know, where it would just drop off or increase dramatically in level. And this is just nice and smooth the whole way through.
Oh, cool.
So it's
very nice.
It's good. And I also found out that I'm not great at soldering, but even I was able to pull it off. So
you didn't use a propane torch though, right?
No, I didn't. I actually have a nice soldering iron that I got for Christmas a couple of years ago with the intent to build some pedal kits and things like that. And I tried to do a few, and my lack of depth perception makes that really, really difficult. So I kind of abandoned that dream.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah. That's hard to do with when your depth perception is not very good.
Yeah, I guess. So. I mean, I'm not like wearing an eye patch or anything, but a lot of people may not know I'm a Cyclops. So
I'm not a pirate.
But believe you me, if my eye was all like messed up looking and like, you know, was like a distraction, I'd be rocking that eye patch like 100%. It'd be like a Bond villain. It'd be great.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, I never knew that until you told me.
Most people don't until they see me try to catch something. They're like, why can't he catch?
Do not play ping pong with Blake Weiland. Or if you want to win, play ping pong with Blake Weiland.
That's right. But what is really fun is when we're doing badminton or something like that, and I'm like, all right, guys, everybody close one eye, and then I can smoke everybody because I'm more used to it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're a master when it comes to everyone playing down to, you know, your quote-unquote handicap or however you want to call it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, one of my many, let's be honest.
Don't we all have them?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I could go on.
But anyway.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about my handicap. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, so.
I don't know where we're going with that. But anyway, the install went good. That's what I'm trying to say. And if I can do it,
there you go,
anyone can do it.
So that's Gun Street, right? Gun Street Wiring.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Yep. So I, let's see. Did I get a new pedal this week? I'm trying to remember if I did. Isn't that horrible?
It is horrible. You should always know when you get new pedals.
I don't think I got a new one, but I do have one pulled up on my browser. The GFI Specular.
Oh yeah, their stuff looks really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been eyeing it, thinking I need to pull the trigger on this mug. You know, in fact, the one I'm actually looking for is the Specular Tempus.
Okay, what's the difference?
So I believe the Specular, there's a reverb and a reverb delay. The Tempest is the reverb delay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yep. Sounds cool. Looks fairly cool, even though it's got like a little LCD screen. Looks pretty easy to use. Not like a bunch of scrolling or anything like that. So, looks very interesting. I look forward to checking that out.
Yeah.
Giving it a run through the rig.
I'd be really curious to hear what you think about it, because I've been eyeballing it for a little while, thinking like, that looks like something I would be very into. Like,
yep.
Very.
Yep. So,
I did get a new pedal. Or I didn't get a new pedal. It wasn't for me, but it came to my house. Just giving plugs all over this episode. Small builder out of Washington. He's in the various Facebook groups. His name's Jeffrey Olar. I think I said his last name right. And his company's called Lemon Sundrop Electronics. Just very small, like one-man show. Does it for fun. And my son a few weeks ago, he wanted to read a book. And so he came over and he brought me a Dunlop catalog. And he's like, I want to read this book. And I was like, my man. So we sat down and we're going through and he's like, what's that? I'm like, ooh, that is a fuzz face. And he's like, fuzz face? I want one. And then like a week later, my wife sent me a video of him like telling her, like bringing her the book and being like, I want a fuzz face. And I mentioned it in one of the groups, and Jeffrey and his daughter Mia built Vincent a little fuzz face so that he has his very own pedal now. He's got pretty good gear for a 3-year old at this point.
Huh. Wow.
So he's doing that's good.
Awesome. Better than I was that age. I didn't have a fuzz face that age.
I didn't either. I mean, he's got his own amplifier. He's got his tube amp. He's got a Les Paul. Like, he's all dialed in. Like, he's got way better gear than I did at even, you know, 18, 20 years old. He's got it, man.
Huh. Yeah, that's awesome.
Some people's kids.
18 years old, I was still rocking a crate with, I don't even know if I had a tuner. Isn't that horrible? 18 years old, didn't even have a tuner.
I think I'm right there with you. I definitely didn't have a pedal tuner. I might have had a clip-on jobby or something.
I don't think they even existed when I was 18. I'm that old.
They didn't have clip-on tuners when you were 18? When did that come?
I don't believe so.
When did that start being a thing?
Well, I was 18. I was 92. In 92, I was 18. Totally different meaning.
I was 4.
So... So you were still in diapers when I was 18. Interesting. I've got underwear.
I am right now.
What
difference is it?
Socks. In fact, the socks I have on are older than you. How about that?
You might need to. I think your company's doing well enough. You could probably pony up and get yourself some new socks at this point.
I'm just teasing, man. Come on. Jeez, take a joke, Blake. Take a joke.
I can't. I'm very sensitive. Very sensitive skin and whatnot.
I understand.
What are we even talking about? I forgot.
The last thing I remember was the new wiring you got from Gun Street, and then you got a new pedal from
Lemon Sundrop.
Was it yours? Lemon Sundrop. Yes.
So.
Yep.
Anyway, that's what's new for me this week. Other than, you know, I've been doing a lot of podcasting lately, so it's been good times.
On the Tone Mob podcast.
Yes. A lot of interesting things happening in Tone Mob land that, you know, probably best reserved for that podcast / group, since this is indeed the Chasing Tone podcast and not my own. So
no, I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. Yep. So that's all I got, really. That's about it. Back home, getting ready to be July 4th tomorrow.
It is tomorrow.
So,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. As we record this, that will be tomorrow.
Happy America Day.
Happy Market Day. Exactly. So that means that we got to buy, you know, things that go boom. So I'm sure that's probably in the plans. Meaning fireworks, of course. So.
Boom.
Yeah. Yep. Other than that, I'm here until my next trip is in New York in 3 weeks. Going to go hang out with Sarah Dietschy for a day. So that'll be fun. The YouTube.
That's right. That's phenom. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just crossing paths at the wrong time, or not. Rather,
that's true.
We're not. So, like, I'm going to Nashville in like a week, so I'm a little late for NAMM. And then after that, you're going to New York, and then I go to New York basically when you get back. So,
right,
this is all unfortunate timing. We should have thought about this better.
I think you're planning it that way. You're like, when's Brian going? Okay, as long as I'm there after him, I can be like, oh man. You know,
just don't read Amanda's emails.
I'll make sure I don't.
Yeah, she
might hurt my feelings.
Brian, when's Brian going to be in New York so I can not be there? Yeah,
exactly.
All right, man.
So, all right.
Well, talk to you. Talk to you next time. How's that sound?
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
And thank you so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. Really appreciate each and every one of you. If you have any comments or questions, you can always email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. If you have any sort of topics or ideas you'd like for us to discuss, again, make sure you shoot that to me. We'd love to discuss some of those things that you guys and gals want to hear, because we exist purely for you. And again, appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.